I do want to read a passage from Matthew chapter 9, verses 9 through 13, and give a brief explanation and application. Matthew chapter 9, verses 9 through 13, and I will read. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. "Follow me," he told him, and Matthew got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what it means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." So here we see Matthew. Matthew is a tax collector. Tax collectors were hated people by the Jews, by the Jewish people in Roman society, because a tax collector who was Jewish, who was exacting, taking taxes from Jewish people, was a traitor. Because Rome was the enemy, they wanted deliverance from Rome, and tax collectors were not known for trying to get the least out of someone, but they tried to get the most out of someone because they worked out of a commission. And so tax collectors were hated. But nonetheless, Jesus calls Matthew and says, "Follow me," and Matthew surprisingly follows Jesus. And what's interesting is what happens next, because Matthew invites Jesus over to his house, probably to have a meal, to get to know him a little bit better, to learn more what it means to be a follower of Jesus. But what does Matthew do? He invites his friends, other tax collectors. He invites sinners, people that were not to be associated with, and they have a meal with Jesus. And the religious rulers get mad, and they begin to ask Jesus' disciples, "Why does Jesus eat with these tax collectors and sinners, these lowest of the low on earth, and who would be considered by the religious to be unclean, to be those that we should not associate with because they could compromise our purity, compromise our holiness?" But nonetheless, Jesus calls these sinners. Because, in fact, the response Jesus gives is, "I have come not to call the righteous, but the sinners." And, of course, we know that even the so-called righteous aren't really righteous, because all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. In fact, the righteous probably are less righteous than even the worst sinners, because their problem is pride and thinking that they are even above God, that they, in fact, are gods in and among themselves. And so Jesus is calling those who truly recognize a need in their life, and Jesus can fulfill that by giving his salvation, by calling people to follow him, and not only for eternal life, but to a life more abundantly. So we see this as the context, and as a church, we want to make an application of this particular passage. And the application is to have an evangelistic outreach amongst our fellowships and church members in November. And this coincides with a national outreach by the Billy Graham Association called My Hope for Billy Graham. Now, for anyone who's probably 30 and over, you would know who Billy Graham is. He is probably America's premier evangelist over the last 60-some years, or at least. He began his crusades in the 50s, and he had some amazing crusades in Los Angeles, leading thousands upon thousands to the Lord. And then he had a one-day crusade in New York City at Madison Square Garden, and it actually turned out he kept extending his gig, and I don't know if you call it a gig, but his speaking engagement, and I think he probably moved the venue to Central Park or something like that. I'm not even sure the venue, but it ended up going on for over 50 days, and so people were crowding to see Billy Graham speak and to proclaim the good news of the gospel. Having lived in New York for 15 years, I just can't imagine anyone that would want to see an evangelist and that he could actually sustain crowds for 50 days. But the work of God was in that place and was upon him, and many came to know the Lord. Now, Billy Graham is at the end of his life. I believe he's in his late 80s and maybe early 90s. And so he wants to have one last crusade or opportunity for people in America to hear the gospel. And so they've organized this event called My Hope for Billy Graham. And what it is for basically most of the month of November, maybe the last 2 weeks or the first 2 weeks of November, they're going to be having a multi, I don't know what you'd call it, a multi-platform evangelistic outreach. And so they're going to be producing a video, an outreach that's probably 30 minutes, might be a little bit more, 45 minutes, that they're going to air on national TV. They're going to have it available through DVDs, through MP4s. You can look at it on your iPods and your iPads and smartphones and whatever. So they want to get this out as broadly as possible, and they want churches to be involved. And so far, 20,000 churches have signed up in America to be part of this crusade. And so we had heard about it, and we wanted to be part of it. However, we have a little bit of a challenge because we're a Chinese church. And all of the materials that they're producing are only in English. And so I suppose maybe if someone had technological savvy, like Richard, I don't know, they could put subtitles on it or something, but that would be a lot of work. And so we were really thinking, as we were praying about this, how can we as a church join in on this outreach, this national outreach, but still make it relevant and applicable to our church body. And so we decided that we would like to do this through our fellowships or even individual families if they wish. And the fellowships can use the materials provided by Billy Graham. But we thought that many fellowships, probably the material that they provided may not be the best, because if you're a Chinese-speaking fellowship, and maybe there's not so many people that are that conversant in English, you would need something in Chinese. Similarly, maybe if for the, say, the English youth or college group, Billy Graham is someone that no one's ever heard of, and the level of message that he's giving might not be exactly what is needed for the younger generation. And so in that case, maybe for certain fellowships, we would encourage pre-evangelism. And pre-evangelism is where you attempt to connect and have good relationship with your friends, with your family, with your coworkers or fellow students and classmates, if you will, and seek to develop a good relationship with them and to help meet their needs and to just kind of break the ice, so to speak. And so in a pre-evangelistic activity, it's something like Sports Day, that we invite them to a sporting event. Our Sports Day had someone that gave a message, but in a pre-evangelistic setting, you wouldn't necessarily even have to give a message. Just being Jesus to them is enough. Or someone could give a testimony, or whatever your church or your fellowship or Bible study would decide you could do. And so we really want to make this something that can be tailored to the individual fellowships or maybe families to do what they can to share the gospel during this time, or to be Jesus to their friends and family and coworkers and classmates. So we're going to be focusing this as a church in November. I think it'll be the second week of November for a week. There's some flexibility as to the time and dates, but we want to try to have some focus anyway to have this in November. And we would like each fellowship to begin praying for their friends and family members, and that they can receive the gospel, and to begin thinking about ways that we can reach these friends and family for the gospel to introduce them somehow to Jesus and pray that the Lord would give us wisdom is in respect to how is the best way to do this. And so this is basically a kickoff to that, that we can begin to pray for our unreached neighbors, as you will. And so Pastor Wong will be sharing a similar message to the Chinese service coming up. But I would like all of us to be in prayer for this national outreach, that the Lord would really use this to bring revival to our land, but that He would also use us as a church and as individuals to help reach our neighbors for Christ. So let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask for His working in our lives and in our nation. Heavenly Father, we do thank You and praise You for Your goodness and the fact that You call not the righteous but sinners. Lord, You called a person like Matthew, a person who was totally disregarded by the religious establishment, in fact was opposed by the religious establishment, but nonetheless You called him to be a follower of You, and You changed his life dramatically, and he had a desire to share the good news with his friends, fellow tax collectors, fellow sinners, those who are in need of the gospel. And Father, help us, Lord, to think about how we as a church, how we as individuals can be Matthews to our neighbors, to our friends, to our families, to our co-workers, our classmates. Lord, and help us to begin by prayer and praying for our unreached friends regularly, but also that You would give us wisdom in how we can best reach them in our context. And so, Lord, we rely on You in this, and we pray that You would indeed work through our nation in a mighty way, bringing revival, Lord, as 20,000 plus churches seek to share the good news with our friends and family. We give You the thanks, we give You the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.